The church needs to be aware of what's going on in politics so that it can have a voice. This year, my job has been primarily that of saying to the church, okay, you're a structure. You're a structure that's concerned for the welfare of all the people. That's your goal. So let's see what's going on politically and how you can have input. And so throughout the actions of the Virginia General Assembly, my office reported its actions on all those issues which had moral overtones, which is most of them, back to the churches in Virginia. And then the churches were able, with some sort of an informed opinion, to say to their elected officials, look, we think this is what needs to be happening. And they were heard. Issues that needed to be stopped were stopped, and some that needed to be passed were passed. It was primarily the clergymen in Virginia that were able to see to it that in the area of criminal justice, for the first time, there can be compensation for the victims of crime. The church is a vast organization which has too long been sleeping in the community. If we come alive and begin to take the gospel of ministering to people seriously, then we're going to look to the channels that are most usable in reaching people's needs, and that's government. So we have to come alive and get outside of the stained glass window and get involved. If we're going to do this to try to influence public policy, then there's some things that we can begin specifically to work for. First of all, we can demand in this country, as citizens, that there be a separation of military aid to countries and food assistance to countries. Now, a bill was passed this fall which does that. An authorization was given for the funding of a program which would, in fact, send not only emergency relief money to countries that were hurting, but would also establish long-term programs to begin to build and share with people. The fact of the matter is that when it came time to fund it, the Hawks won, and it was cut drastically. And the whole program that was budgeted could have been completely funded for the price of one Trident submarine. And yet we chose that. Although we can already destroy Russia 10 times, and I don't know how many times you have to be able to do it. We can speak out for a goal of 1% of our gross national product to be given for development assistance to countries in need. Do you know how much we presently give? Less than 0.2%. If you take the United States and its wealth and compare it to all the countries that have been given assistance to the underdeveloped countries, out of 17 countries on a basis of percentage of giving, we lack the top by a long shot. We're 14th down the left out of 17. We still give more money, but a whole lot more has been given to us. We can have worship services as a group that have emphasis upon the political activity that's possible for Christians in the world. We can encourage through our church teaching Christian citizens to get involved, to get into politics, to risk getting dirty so they can get to work. We can provide a public forum where we invite our legislators to come into our churches or into our community to hear what we have to say, and so we can hear what they have to say so that there can be responsible dialogue between us. We can have offerings of letters. Last fall, churches all across this nation were invited to participate in a nationwide offering of letters. And the churches on an appointed Sunday came together, and instead of putting money in the offering plate, they put a letter written, handwritten, addressed to their congressmen or senators, and stamped. And then all this mail was dropped on Congress, and it was overwhelming. Congress didn't know what had hit them. Hundreds of thousands of letters suddenly falling down on Congress demanding that this country pass a resolution for the right to eat for its people and the people of the world. The first time since World War I that there's been a public opinion expressed in favor of world assistance. And the churches pulled it off with only a little bit of organization. Baptists are, in this country, millions and millions strong. Think what we can do if we unite our hearts in expressing the gospel through every possible means, including the political arena. Two more suggestions. I talked with the Foreign Mission Board, and I said, okay, if we were able to find some specialists, say an ag engineer or a civil engineer who could help with dam building or well drilling and this sort of thing, if we could find that sort of person who was willing to take off from his work for a year and go to work to actually work shoulder to shoulder with people in hungry areas, how could you use them? And they sort of grinned and said, you find them and we'll use them, because we've got a program that says that we'll pay his way over, along with his wife, and back. We'll provide their housing while they're there and arrange all the political connections to get them in and out. Now, you see, you and I have the tabs on the community through the church to find out where these people are. We have the resources within our church to raise the money to support these people so they can go. It's to the point that it's going to take more than us giving our money. Some of us have got to give ourselves. Secondly, I asked the mission board, what would you do if a church came to you and said, we've got a group of people, 10, 15, 20 people, that we want to send as a workforce. They're not skilled people, but they're willing to work, they're healthy and strong, and they'd like to work in an area that needs assistance. Once again, the answer was yes, we can use them. If you can find a church anywhere that'll pay for a group of people to go over and work, we'll get them a place and help any way we can. What if you and I suddenly turned the success ethic around concerning our churches and decided that in order to be a successful church, we didn't have to build a big, pretty structure, but that we could build some structures in the kingdom of God? That we could, in fact, if necessary, borrow the money to send a task force overseas from our church so that our people could get down on their knees in the dirt, shoulder to shoulder with those hungry, starving people, and let them know what brotherhood is really like. I dare say, if we're down on our knees in the dirt with the sweat running down our back, side by side with a man who is starving because he hasn't had a chance, that we are probably for the first time in the true posture for prayer. And the gospel is preached. But sometime that man's going to want to know why. Why are you doing this? And then all it takes is, I'm a Christian. If we do not give ourselves to accomplishing this measure of global justice, then where does that leave us with our relationship to God? Where do we stand? What do we have to claim or to say? When all the nations of the earth are gathered together before the king, and he divides the nations before him, what will he have to say to the richest nation in the world? I was hungry, and you said, well, we'll study it. Or will he say, I was hungry, and you said, God help those who... Or will he say, I was hungry, and you said, well, if I give you grain, I may not be able to feed my cattle. How much better it would be if he were able to say, I was hungry, and you fed me. Let justice roll down like the waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Almighty Father, Creator of all mankind, we have to confess that we do know what we're doing, and we keep doing it anyway. Forgive us, O Lord. Grant us a sense of your justice. Grant us the desire to be doers of the gospel. Grant us the willingness to give our lives and to once again buy back the purity of your gospel with the sacrifice of ourselves. For we pray in the name of the one who has given us just that example, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.